You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
I definitely have friends. Objectively, I can say that I have all the friends. I have friends. I definitely have friends. Friends, friendly friends. Time to meet my friends.
Angela.
Shannon.
Jim.
Moosh.
We have friends. We definitely have friends. No one can say that we do not have friends.
We have friends. We definitely have friends. Friends, friendly friends. We have all the friends.
Cool.
This is Crazy Ex-Girlfriends episode.
It is?
That's us. We're the Crazy Ex-Girlfriends. Oh my gosh. This whole time,
how
knew.
Did I miss this? Have I been asleep?
Maybe.
Okay.
You've been dreaming this podcast this whole time.
I've been dreaming of this podcast, and I woke up and it was real.
Your life is complete.
It is. Until next week.
Until next week. Then you can do it all over
all
again.
All over again. Oh, it's almost complete. It'll be complete in 2 hours.
Yeah.
Somebody told me I was a crazy ex-girlfriend, and I didn't think it was true. But it is.
But it is.
We're all crazy. I like that we have a little Facebook kind of chat between us. Mm-hmm. And Angela, yesterday or today, I forget, time is weird, changed it to crazy exes. And I was like,
Oh, that's us. I will take that label with pride
with
now.
With pride.
Might have been weird before, but now I'm proud of it.
Bunch took it back.
Aw, so good. So we recap the show Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, if you didn't already know. I feel like this late in, people get weird about starting new podcasts, and they're like, I got to either start from the beginning of the podcast, or I got to start from the beginning of the series and watch along, and you don't have to do either.
No.
I was listening to our last episode, and maybe it's because we had Ellen in here, and we're talking about Bruce Springsteen, but I was like, this holds up. You don't need to watch the show. You could. But you could just listen to us talk
That's
about
right.
how much we hate ourselves.
Yeah. Are you talking about episode 11 or episode 10 or episode 11?
It was 11.
Last week. Oh yeah. You know,
I think we're on 12.
We're on
11. I don't know what we're on.
No, yeah.
I might be lying.
We're on 12 because there was 11 and it just posted today
yes.
and then
yes.
episode 10 was last week.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, episode 10, I was listening to that and like we squirreled for like 20 minutes before we even talked about the episode. I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah, I'm kind of a fan. Although now there's pressure for us to like just keep it going.
Keep it going. Well, we can do that. All we're doing is being us.
Aww.
I can't wait till we only talk about one episode a week. Can you imagine how great that is?
Mm-hmm.
You guys, I have a dilemma.
What's that?
I'm wearing a sweatshirt because it was cold outside, but I just drank 2 shots and now I'm warm.
Oh, warm.
And I have headphones on.
Well, you could take a break at any point.
What's a girl to do?
To take them off and
but
take
then I'll
it
miss
off.
Stuff.
Take
I don't want to miss stuff. Okay, fine. I'm taking it off. Don't say anything interesting.
Roll it up a little bit. Just
that doesn't work. No. She's going quiet, right. So she can
you
take it off.
Loan her one of your shirts.
What? No, I need all 4 of these.
4. I see a sweater, a button down, probably a t-shirt.
There are a couple hidden shirts underneath, too.
Undershirt, probably. Right?
Yeah.
Jim has a reputation for layering.
Just in case a large wind blows the other
3
off.
I layer, too, but I layer with, like, 2 shirts. the obligatory I have boobs tank top, and then you have, like, the t-shirt that goes on top of it. Or today there was a sweatshirt.
The sad part of it... it means it's getting chilly outside.
It does. I mean... It's nice for like 2 seconds because I really like having stuff on my arms.
I'm already
like,
over
like having
it.
Sweatshirts. I like having them where the sleeves are so long that you pull them up over your hands and you're like, I have no hands.
Oh my
How do I function? And then, but you know, yeah, they're great.
I admitted to my new coworkers recently that I have tattoos.
Yeah.
Because they never see them because I always wear sleeves, partly because I like sleeves so much.
Sleeves
but also
great.
It's kind of cold. It's still summer, but it's getting colder.
And you're hiding all those bruises.
And there's a lot of bruises from the camera.
Yeah, but yeah.
I did hook up with a guy this weekend. And I got some bruises. I had to cover from
God.
That.
Oh, somebody got laid.
Yeah.
Somebody got laid.
It was cool. It was healthy.
Aww.
It was a Sex with a Stranger song. Healthy?
Yeah.
But
did you have to go wash the dishes?
I did so we could drink wine out of coffee cups.
Yes! Like any classy bride.
Like so classy. And then when I went to go do that, I come back and he's found my guitar, which I don't really play that often or well. It's just kind of in my new place because of all people, Ellen, who's not, you know, was here. We all know who she is now.
Ellen. What can I do?
Love God. We were going to start a Rush cover band, but to start a Rush cover band, I actually need to, like, practice guitar because that's really intense. But so yeah, I'm
a hell of a drummer too.
Oh my, well, yeah, well, that's gonna be Ellen. So
you guys, I gotta admit, I'm a great drummer when it comes to Rock Band. I get the accent and everything. I have a special Rock Band drummer accent.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. It's like Rock On.
Oh,
one, two, three, four.
This guy loved the Brits.
Yeah,
the
I like swing it over my head with sticks.
Yeah, at some point during the actual
at medium
date
level,
part, I told him I didn't really like the Beatles because I don't.
You don't.
And that's
be
fine.
Who you are.
But he. So I go to wash dishes and then I come back with like two coffee cups full of red wine and he's playing Blackbird on my guitar and then he starts serenading me and I'm like, this is objectively really cute, but also.
And this was after you told him you don't like the Beatles, right?
I know, yeah.
And you're like, oh, so you're not listening to what I have to say.
He's like, no,
I'm going to make you like them.
Benefit of the doubt, you don't know that much about me. If you did know about anything about me, you wouldn't be doing that right now.
You would be?
Would not. Oh. What? What?
You
no,
what?
You said you don't like the Beatles.
Oh, I did. Yeah, I don't know that.
Yeah.
Or I do not like them. I'm sorry. I think you may not know
never
that.
Never mind.
Oh, wouldn't it be great if
we
the
brought
reason
it
you
up.
Don't like the Beatles was like,
in private.
Well, I you know, had sex with a guy named John, Paul, George, and Ringo, and, you know, none of them worked out, so the
so
Beatles
don't like
are done
no
for me. Yeah.
Aw.
And then just for fun, a lady named Star. It all happened.
But hey. He did say, like, one really douchey line, which aww. Was, I mean, he's like, okay, so I don't know why I want to talk about this, but he's like,
sing it. You got late.
Whatever,
you
doesn't matter.
It.
He's like this, like, he's visiting his family and he's from LA. So, like, every,
oh.
I mean, it's connected to the whole California.
Already he has the douche
crazy ex girlfriend, like, microcosm that is West, you know, Western California.
West Covina.
And, yes, West Covina. No, he's, he just, he, I don't know. He just kept talking about how awesome he is, which is fine. For some reason, I like that.
Oh, you like that?
I don't know, apparently. But then, like, because I guess I'm aware of how douchey he is. And at some point, he says the douchey line. He's like, I don't want to, like, sound like I'm bragging, but I'm going to.
oh, boy.
People who, like, don't like certain songs, like, let's say Piano Man, hear me play Piano Man, and then they fucking love that song.
Oh. There's so much wrong with that statement. Please don't make this a serious relationship.
Oh no, because I think he's gone next week or the
thank
week after.
God.
So,
because it's like, come on, really? You're gonna play it and I'm gonna like it? What do you think you are, a magical being? You got a fanny pack full of glitter and a unicorn horn beneath your pants? I don't know. Like,
might.
It's
did he?
Yeah, did he? Did he have a unicorn horn?
No.
Good, because that would
it was
puncture.
It was good, but it was no unicorn. But
well, I'm glad it was good.
Yeah, I didn't send him home and like tell him I had to wash dishes. So
everybody needs a little stress relief.
It was more of the like vegan. If we're going back to season one, like the vegan, like going home with the vegan, and
yeah,
being like, oh, this is great. But then also Greg didn't show up afterwards to yell at me. So it really was great.
Yeah. There you go. Well, you also didn't go on a date with one guy and go home with another.
Yeah. Yeah. I specifically went out with this guy.
Hey. Yeah. See, look at that. Rebecca Bunch could learn a thing or two from you.
You know, I'm learning from her.
Oh.
Oh. I'm learning.
You did the dishes before
exactly.
He had
I did
sex.
Them before he showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And. Oh. So that's just happened to be a coincidence.
Oh.
But.
Now, the red wine, something that I've noticed on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend is the red wine bottle is always open. They don't decork a new bottle, which in my opinion, like, if you're going to start a bottle of red wine, you better finish it because it never tastes as good the next day. Like, don't even. Like, just dump it. But did you have a pre-opened bottle or did you have a new bottle?
It is, in fact, a box of red wine.
Yes! That's what I'm talking about.
Not
easily
even.
Easily stored.
Yeah, easily stored. One of the small ones that's like a bottle and a half.
Let me guess. You're a Cabernet Sauvignon box wine kind of person, aren't you?
This is a red.
Red mix. Okay, even better. All right.
usually more into Malbecs, but
I love Malbecs. Yeah.
The spikes.
Yes, or Pinot Noirs. Mm-hmm. We talked about Pinot Noirs. Yeah, Cabernet Sauvignon is actually my least favorite because it has like this grainy taste when you drink it.
I think that's what, the fruity taste?
I guess. I don't know. It's like an aftertaste. It sticks to your tongue, like with a vengeance. Like, you drank my ancestors. I'm going to stick here and make you hate your life. You. I'm going to haunt you and stain your teeth.
I'm your wine. I'm wine your, ghost.
I'm your wine ghost of beverage past.
So cute.
But yeah. Oh, yeah. Malbecs are great. Merlot is a good traditional.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Pinot Noir is the best. And, you know, yeah. I think we mentioned this before, but... Oh, what's the show? Kimmy Schmidt?
Where is that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Pinot Noir. I still hear that when I drink a Pinot Noir.
I wanted to bust into it.
As soon as you said
yes,
I could hear.
You guys bust into it with me. Titus. I don't have to be the only musical number.
I could hear Titus singing it in the background.
Sing it. Sing it. Don't hold back.
Pinot Noir.
Don't hold
candy
back.
Bar.
I have to shoot my music video in just the right light.
See, as good as that was, I remember I'm lemonading. That is
the... I'm a star is born sing.
Yes. Actually, I don't think I got through that newest season.
I didn't. Like, I got through season one, which was really great. Season two started to get a little weird for me. And so I was like, I really appreciate where you were season one. I'm just going to let it go. Same thing happened to me with Walking Dead. It got really bad. So
I believe that more so than Kimmy Schmidt, because I don't know if Kimmy Schmidt was bad or if I just... I wanted to play this game with myself where I'm like, I'm gonna portion it out so I don't overdose and see it all and get really excited and then miss it. But then it wasn't good enough to bring me back.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah, exactly.
But Walking Dead, I believe, didn't.
Well, Walking Dead got a lot better, though. But, you know, this is the problem with shows. Like, when I'm new to commitment, things get hard and stupid or someone shows me something I don't like, I'm going to just drop them. And that's what I did. You know, like... season two got weird, and I was like, fine, I don't have time for you. And so now it's really good, and it's one of those relationships where you regret it, and you're like, oh, man, I should have stuck through the hard times. We could have been great. And
but really, it was a shit show.
But really, it was a shit show. It could have been. I saw the potential for shit show, and I've had enough of a life of shit show, and I'm like, I just can't. Don't have the time for you.
Walking Dead was the TV show. I had a roommate, and...
He turned into a zombie.
No. But she was dating kind of a zombie. She was dating like a unemployed dude that like hung out on my couch all the whole time.
Yeah.
And like
zombie like.
Yeah, he hooked up a N64 to like play N64. So whatever. But that Walking Dead was the show. I was like, do you like? I should have like had the conversation like this guy should pay rent first, but instead it was like a very serious conversation where I was like, so do you like actually watch cable or am I just paying for a cable bill because you want, I don't know, to entertain your boyfriend?
Yeah.
And because it turns out she wasn't paying like half of the bill really. I was just like me picking up like like certain things. And then it was in my name too. So I had this power and she's like, oh, well, I watch Walking Dead. I'm like, cool. That's all you watch live on broadcast TV. We're not having it anymore.
Yeah. This is when you find a friend.
Yeah, exactly. Find a friend or just what download it illegally or just something. Do anything but make me pay the bill for this. So, and that's probably one of the top of the bitchiest things I've done.
How is that bitchy?
Good strong arm tactic.
That's not bitchy at all. That is one thing. It's very good use of money. And for two, it's very true. You don't buy extra packages for one show. You find someone else who has that package because they like lots of shows. Yeah. And you're like, hey, can we be friends on Sunday night so that I can watch Game of Thrones? And they're like, yeah. And then you get to watch Game of Thrones and you don't have to pay for HBO.
And you bring the wine.
And well, you could bring the wine.
Not just that, but like if you live with a roommate and you're both using cable and your bummy ass boyfriend is like there every day, like you pay half the bill.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
You weren't the bitch. She was the bitch.
Yes.
She was just younger than me, and I should have taught her more things like, oh, this is a bitchy move.
Well, you're not her mom. It's her mom's job.
It is. It's parents and.
You're not Paula.
Friend. Yeah. Not Paula. Oh.
Bring
it
around.
Thank you. Man, Paula. I never want to be a Paula in a relationship.
I never want to be a Paula. But
she's super codependent.
Yeah. It's I
love her.
I
she's great.
Paula.
But
just like when she's like having that hard time and she's like, I can't tell Rebecca because Rebecca's going through a hard time and I can't burden her. I hate that she did that. I hate when people do that to me, but I do it all the time. I'm like, no, I can't. I can't burden you. I can't burden you with my shit.
Like half the clips I wanted to pull were from that. And that's like episode 4. So we'll get there eventually. But it was always like, yeah.
Someday.
Oh, Paula, why? This is your chance. And there was like all these segues they wrote in. And it just so perfectly reflects how it is to be that stupid human.
But you know what? When you're the codependent, when you're the person who makes it your life to make everybody else happy, you can't. You can't say you're what's wrong with you because you're all like, I can't do it because I'm supposed to be the sacrificial lamb.
So these two episodes.
Oh, sacrificial lamb actually comes from Greek mythology, in case you were wondering.
Oh, I didn't. Yes. Did I know that? No, I didn't know that. Who was the lamb or what was the lamb?
So, oh, man, I guess I should have looked it up more. So really, they used to do like sacrificial daughters. But then also, you know, to appease the gods, they would have a sacrificial animal. So a sacrificial lamb. And it was supposed to take on the burden of the community so that, you know, the gods would be happy and that they could all have a clean slate.
Nice.
There was a special daughter that was mentioned in my classical mythology book, which I still have, which is my favorite class in college, in case you were wondering.
Was it the, like, Edith whatever little book, or was it, like, an actual textbook?
It was a big book. Okay. It was beautiful. Like, I still read it from time to time. The cover's peeling off the top, and it's, like, as big as, like, two Big Macs next to each other. Maybe three.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a huge book.
It's beautiful. I love that book so much.
There's that.
And it has poetry in the back of it.
Aw.
Greek mythology, Greek poetry.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
Not in Greek.
I had the.
It's been translated.
The, like, little tiny novel of, like, short collected stories by.
That's what I grew up on with.
Yeah, everyone's got that one. Yeah. But mine, like, someone, and I think it was, like, my uncles used to have this copy of this book. They, like, on the back of the book, on the author picture, and I just remember her first name is Edith. They took a pen and colored her like she was a man.
Mm.
So
why you gotta hate?
I don't know. That's always in my brain.
So here's another thing with classical mythology. Jim Henson, you remember that dude, puppet dude?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
He had a mini series of classical mythology.
Did he?
Things. Yeah, I have it. It's 2 discs. Ooh. It's delightful. I guess it was a series. It was only 1 season, in case you were wondering. If you ever want to come over and watch it, we can, because there's puppets and it happens to be Greek mythology.
Yes.
Yay. I like it.
Are they the puppets that are a little more like darker or like
they're not
ominous?
Darker.
Or
you know, it's I have to rewatch it. It's been a while. But what else did he do?
No,
what else did he do?
Well, just the darker versions of like Dark Crystal was very dark.
Yes, and then you have the Labyrinth. What kind of magic spell do you do? Yeah, and then I talked in a British accent in 7th grade for almost an entire year because of that little worm with the blue hair. Caterpillar. Hello. Did you say hello? No, I said hello, but that's close enough.
Aww.
Oh, I loved it so much. Everybody was so annoyed with me, I'm sure. Didn't care. Didn't even notice. Because I'm like, I'm British.
Fools. I'm British now.
Yeah.
I love the Beatles. It's my thing.
Rock on! Oh, I was looking up the mythology lady's name.
Oh, okay. I thought there was something else. Oh, it was the Jim Henson you
Oh, yeah, the Jim
up.
Henson. Edith Hamilton.
Hamilton.
Yeah. No, Jim Henson, when they did the puppets for, you know, the mythology, it was tastefully done. It was beautiful. Magical, really.
We haven't seen any like puppets in Crazy Ex-Girlfriend yet, have we?
Oh, we've not.
I feel like that's going to come.
Got to fix this.
Because they do all their little.
Do they have a suggestion box?
Probably on Twitter. We can just tweet at them. But
we'll make a box.
Because they're so musical theater and Avenue Q.
Yes.
I'm getting like around into this. I'm like, wait, why haven't they done anything?
Yeah.
Actually, one of my first improv experiences or like a show I went to go see was out. I had to travel some of you guys kind of know California stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, I was living in the San Fernando Valley, and then I had to go down to Long Beach without a car. So it was like 2 trains and a bus. And it was like a 2-hour adventure.
That sounds like a fun day.
To see a friend of my boyfriend do improv with puppets.
Yes!
And to this day, I'm surprised I ever did improv because...
Oh!
Come on.
Come on!
Come on.
Come on.
Improv with puppets.
Yeah.
That's what this is.
I don't know.
Improv with puppets. It would carry around a puppet with me just forever, just because we'd be great friends.
Yeah, to have somebody to hang out with.
Having some awesome conversations.
It was so
me
mad
and Jim Henson
there.
Puppet from his puppet factory.
Because
I want a high class puppet.
Sorry.
I actually did. I had a marionette as a child.
Aww.
And I also, as a child, would wander a little bit, you know?
Mm hmm.
That was the only thing I got in trouble for.
Wonder where?
Away from home. I would, so I'd just not tell my parents where I was going sometimes. I didn't mean to, because, I mean, I didn't do it maliciously. It just kind of happened. And I'd just be like, man, I got to go catch some bugs. Or I have a puppet, and I got to take him on a little puppet walk. And so, one time, I came home, and the police were there, because my parents had called them. Because they were like, our daughter is missing.
We cannot figure this out.
And we don't have cell phones yet because it's too early.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those were the times to wander.
Those were the times to wander.
Cell phone, that was when you could, yeah.
Well, I probably would. I'd never get in trouble then because, you know, they'd be like, where are you at? And I'd be like,
why are you watching me?
I'd take a little picture, a little selfie of me with the puppet and be like, burp.
Yeah. I'm on a date
with Boinga Boinga. Which is what a fourth grader names their puppet. In case you're wondering. Still have them because memories.
Yeah. You cannot throw your ex-boyfriend away.
You can't throw away your first love. Boinga boinga.
This is like Mr. Potato Head.
I'm so weird, you guys. Took Mr. Potato Head to the prom. I got in trouble for taking boinga boinga on a walk.
Just a romantic stroll.
It's been crazy life.
So all signs point to Josh.
Oh, do they?
Or is it his friend?
What a great transition. It was so seamless.
I knew we were getting around.
I couldn't figure it out.
The
universe likes puppets.
Yeah.
No, there's no.
The universe does like puppets. They're like whimsical and shit.
Yeah.
No. Well, maybe. Oh, I also had a clown in my bedroom, like a puppet clown. Not a puppet. It was like a stuffed animal, and it had like the zippers and the buttons and stuff. You remember those?
Yeah, so you could like learn to zip and tie shoes.
Yeah, yeah.
And buttons.
And I was like 9 or something like that, and my cousin had let me watch it.
Oh, no.
Yeah. She was babysitting. It was a great family moment. And so I was so scared. Like, I don't like horror movies to this day. Probably because it started then. After that, I had to get rid of the clown, dude. I just didn't even mention it. I watched him for a few days. I'm like, no, you're going to kill me in my sleep, and I just can't have that. Or you're going to take me down to a gutter. I don't even have a boat made out of paper, but things are going to happen. And so I had to get rid of that dude.
All my childhood fears were based in reality. Like, we had firemen.
That
sounds horrible. I know. Exactly. It doesn't make life very
that
fun
does
or
sound
exciting.
Because
it was like, I remember.
Man.
There was like, we had a
That's
day.
That's supposed to be adulthood, man.
I know.
Like, we had the firemen come to the school to tell us about house fires. So, number one fear, house fires. Number two fear, lightning causing a house fire. Come on.
It's like the DARE program saying don't do drugs, and they found out that it actually caused more kids to do drugs. Oh, yeah. They're like, oh, there's these things called drugs out there. I shouldn't do them. Oh, I'm going to listen to you,
I think that
DARE
sounds like
person.
A good thing to do.
Yeah.
This one only just makes me stupid. That seems cool.
Yeah. Oh, this one will lead to harder drugs. Will it with me, though? I don't know yet.
Let's find out. I think the DARE and also life has the only drug that's ever been discouraged from those things is just meth. Because meth is so scary.
Meth is so scary. But you know what? All you need are the pictures of celebrities and what they look like after meth. You don't need anything
else. Yeah, you need those pictures or just the idea that like a meth lab blows up.
I'm
back on houses catching fire.
Oh, there you go. I was thinking meth lab blows up your face because
like just
I like
fire.
My face.
And,
or what about what is that addiction show on MTV or whatever?
Oh, yeah. Oh, True Life or the other one,
Intervention or something.
Oh, yeah.
And then they like show like people on meth like freaking out in the street and they're like, stop trying to kill me. And you're like, what does that shit do to your brain?
Yes.
Like, what's happening?
Full of empty holes.
They are full of empty holes and all the crazy's getting out.
But all the other drugs seem cool.
Oh, man.
Well,
except heroin.
There you go.
That's not
even
good.
Even that
I feel like
we're gonna work our way through a few exceptions here. I think it's gonna.
I was like, I know heroin's bad, but I've definitely had plenty of moments in my life where I've legitimately thought, you know, if I've like again going back to me being homeless again, if I'm homeless, I would.
And I just want a distraction.
I love that's your go-to.
It's because in my head that's the worst thing that could happen. But worst thing, if I'm homeless, I would really enjoy heroin, so guess it would be fine.
I mean, you know what? Yeah,
most homeless people seem to enjoy it.
I mean, it makes you really happy in the moment, and I have no impulse control, and I'm very much in the moment, so I would enjoy the fuck out of heroin.
PCP makes you a superhuman, apparently. Like, you get hit by a car, and you're like,
I'm going to lift the car. Yeah, not so into that, but like feeling really happy.
I hit this guy on PCP and he fixed my engine.
Okay, so that one doesn't sound cool either to me.
Having your engine fixed?
Yeah. I don't want to be the guy.
He pulled all the dents out.
I don't want to be that guy.
He reset everything.
I don't want to be him. He sounds boring. He's still trying to please people.
Oh,
even on PCP.
even on PCP.
Oh no, it follows you everywhere.
He's just a hyper pleaser.
I'm getting way more done. Please him even better.
So Josh.
Yes, Josh.
Things are happening with him.
He's created a love triangle situation for Rebecca.
Oh, wait. Who's doing the recap for this
episode?
It's
Jim, right?
Oh, yeah.
Jim! Jim, tell us.
Yeah, tell us what's happening.
I'm going to try not to put everybody to sleep. If I miss any details, jump in.
Okay.
All right.
Just get the facts. We got it.
So here we go.
You don't need every Tom, Dick, and Harry.
So, okay. So we start out, right? And Rebecca and Josh are in bed together.
Whoa.
And they're like, oh, things are going, you know, cozily for them, right? Mm-hmm. And hey, we're hungry. Where's the pizza? And then at the bedroom door, Greg pops in with a pizza. And it's like, whoa, what's going on here? This is weird, right? Is it that weird?
Is it that weird? Seems kind of cool.
They're into it.
Does seem kind of cool.
They're like, what are you doing? Yeah, pizza in bed. That's crazy. Get over here. And so
don't
he gets
burn
over
yourself
there and,
on the cheese.
Yeah. That. Yeah.
Just
so they end up in bed together, and Rebecca's like, which one of you gets to have sex with me tonight? You got to want to arm wrestle for it. And everything's going well, and Rebecca and everybody gets everything that they want. And then we come out of her reverie.
By the way, that's a great dream. Can you imagine, like, you're torn between two guys, or even just, you know, you happen to be a person with a lot of needs, and then you're just like, bam, got two of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've seen it in a lot of movies.
Where people need two people, or are they just, it works out?
Sure.
It never works out in movies.
No, it doesn't.
It's a difficult situation.
You've got to be a very balanced and honest person, I think, if you're ever going to make anything like that work. Mm-hmm. And you've got to have a bunch of people involved who are also very balanced and honest. But we're getting there.
Because, we do learn this.
Because we come out of her reverie, and she's talking to some polyamorous people and saying, that's how it works, right? We get to just, you know, if I don't want to choose, then I can have both these guys, right? So the polyamorous people explain, this isn't how it works. You don't get to, like, you know, it's not about arm wrestling for sex. Polyamory, what she's discussing, and she's trying to, she just decides that she's going to get Greg and Josh to become polyamorous with her without, you know, having the discussion with them or anything. She just, they'll be into it.
Yeah, they don't mind sharing.
No,
guys love to share.
They're best friends. They're going to be, I've known you since
everybody
I was five.
Everybody loves to share.
Yeah. Obviously, we like all the same things.
Women included. Yeah.
So the polyamorous people are like, no, you don't know what polyamory is. You're stuck in a love triangle. And then she goes to baby voice, and we get this great Marilyn Monroe homage.
What is that, like Diamonds Are Girl's Best Friend?
Say,
or
yes. Carol Channing is more my version of that.
Okay.
You know, I was thinking about Marilyn Monroe and how smart she was. Like, she was supposed to be a very intelligent person. And she was like, hey, men in this era just want a dumb lady. So I'm going to pretend to be dumb and have a baby voice.
And she's kind of known as being, like, what, a proto-feminist or something like that? Just in the sense that, like, her movies were all kind of about undermining men by manipulating their weaknesses to women. Like, that's what she was
doing.
You
go, girl. Yeah. That's what they had to do. They had, you know, you couldn't really get a job. You couldn't do a lot of things. So, fine, I'm going to screw you with the mental game.
Yeah. And that's, it's great. It's a lot of fun to watch.
Oh, that Love Triangle song is fun.
Oh, Love Triangle. So, Love Triangle. Yeah. And the Love Triangle song that we get from this is, you know, basically her refusing to acknowledge any kind of like practicality and using her
including
own kind
math.
Of like, yeah.
I was saying, including criticism of she doesn't know math, but she knows great math puns.
Yes. I'm going to get strung from a hypotenuse. Yeah. Or we're tired of all your tangents is what the guy said.
Oh, yeah, they're
said.
Great. Yeah, all mm-hmm. the, yeah.
And she tries to flirt with them and like, we're all gay. We get nothing out of this.
We get nothing out of this. I actually took a screenshot of all the dudes because they're all dressed the same.
Yeah.
And they're doing the Rockettes thing where you got tall to short. And they all look at the same glasses. But when you actually look at them, they're very diverse.
Yeah.
In terms of like race and how many
have. Because this show's
one has
about
a mustache.
That.
There's
a John Hamm doppelganger in there somewhere too.
Yes. So I took a screenshot and I'll probably post it later online because I wanted to bring up like who's the hottest of these people that all look the same, but because it's a audio format, that we're not going to get there.
Isn't that in the eye of the beholder?
Exactly.
Well, that should be great. This is like a survey for Facebook, right?
Yeah,
they're all clothed, so can you really tell?
You can tell by a face.
They have cute faces. Yeah,
I like one face more than another.
What if one guy has like 18 nipples?
Well. Then after I take his shirt off, I may reevaluate and think he might be part cat.
I mean, not that
cat.
Doesn't mean he's a good person. He might be like an awesome person.
He could be, especially if he's part cat.
But and if the nipples are functional,
because I really
and he's
like
part
cats,
cat, then that's excellent. Because like,
why would that be excellent? What am I going to do with all those nipples? It's not
I don't
a
know,
thing of mine.
Start a foster home. You can
wet nurse some puppies.
Yeah.
Half kitten man, wet nursing puppies. That's special.
Sounds so sexy.
At least you can get a fox for a
the
foxy
point is,
nipple man.
Men aren't doing enough.
They're the enemies, right?
Oh, duh.
Obviously, we've established that.
Yeah.
Episode one. No.
That's why I'm here. I'm self-loathing enough to take part.
Yeah.
Like, just admit, like, I'm just joking.
No.
Mostly joking.
Mostly.
If only I knew a sad violin song, I'd play it right now for you. Instead, Fear Bell. That's all I got. Oh, what's else in the episode? I just, totally made you stop.
All, well, he's in his head of self-loathing.
Oh,
we all are.
Honey.
We all just like broke into that.
Oh, it's because you didn't get your pre-podcast hug. You came into the room late.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't get the circle.
It's all my fault.
That's right, Nipple Cat Man.
It's not the universe's. It's your fault.
All right. So anyways, so we get through this this awesome song. And What did she? I've got.
Then she's with Dr. Copian.
Oh yeah. Okay. So she comes out of the song and she's still doing baby voice, and she's with Dr. Copian, and
Stop
Dr. Copian is quickly like, "Yeah, no baby voice. Cut it out." Because psychotherapists aren't fun.
they have like no sense of humor.
No, they don't. They just want you to like you know
Except
encounter.
Mine,
all
my therapist
your...
is funny. Just saying. Yay therapy.
Mine's harassing me by like asking me to come back.
Oh my god, mine did that too. I stopped coming for a bit, and he's like, "Hey, what are you trying to do? Come
I
back.
Wish,
I'm trying to save some money."
Yeah, right. I have like
no. I was dodging emotional issues.
Yeah. Or that.
I have therapists, so I think like don't want to see me. They're kind of like, "All right, we'll see you in like a month," and then when I show up, it's like, "Did we?" Who are you again? Like, did we?
It's because you look like Jesus.
Scheduled?
You make them question their role.
They're like, you should be giving me therapy, Jesus.
Yeah. Turn this water into wine. Where's my fish? Just like that.
Just wear a bag over your head next time. You'll get better therapy.
That would probably work.
Oh. It'd probably work for everyone, honestly.
Just bring with you 12 friends. It'll be fine.
No. I feel when his nipples become functional, though, it would give it away.
Back to the nipples. Just, yeah. Are you going to make all your 12 friends shirtless? That's a weird. Especially because it's getting colder outside. So, that's just unkind.
So it's the first. I just want to point out something. That's the first song that starts out, she's in one place, and it ends and she's in another place.
Yeah, so she's traveled during this reverie.
Traveling
this,
time.
Yes. She's like, you know, detached from. She's wandering around with things going on in her head like everybody does.
Travel deeper into her
I think,
delusion.
Yeah, that's actually really important because I just think of that as like from a director's standpoint. Like, this is great storytelling. We're getting from one place to another faster. It's so good. But now hearing that from someone else, I'm like, oh, this is actually probably a deeper underlying issue in which she's disassociating.
Especially since she ended up in the therapist's office. Like, that was where she ended with the song.
Yeah. So I'm liking that. This show's so good.
It is.
This podcast is 99% me just being like, this show rocks. I love them.
Oh, yeah. And it's like 2% me being like, I love this song.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love this song too.
Actually, I don't know how many of you follow me on Twitter, but I did go on a rant on my personal Twitter, not the one for this show because I was trying to keep it professional. But I was just like, you know, sometimes I get really down about this because most of the show is just me being like, oh, that's so great. This is great. This show rocks. Oh, Rebecca's such a good character. Rachel Bloom's such a good writer and a good singer. And she's so pretty. And everyone's so smart on this show.
What else are you going to do? Lift your leg?
But, I just keep saying that. And then I was like, well, it should be better. We should, be really smart about it. We should be, really researched. But, how many stupid dudes have a podcast where, that's their entire agenda is just to be like, this is a thing I like. And I'm going to talk about how much I like it.
Yeah. Like, the critical analysis or something.
Yeah, they don't
that's where I get lost.
They don't ever, I feel like there's no dude who's, making a podcast out there about something they like.
Yeah.
And then going home and being like, I wasn't smart enough. I wasn't,
Well, and I think you'd get burnt out.
I didn't know the last name of Edith Hamilton. And I just sounded like such
Google
a
for
dummy.
That.
Dudes go to school and don't do that.
I know. So I'm just like, why am I?
No, you guys, if you had a podcast every week and you researched tons to get to that podcast every week, you'd burn out.
Because
you have a full-time job. If it was your job, that'd be different.
If my job was more boring, if I was like Apollo in a situation where I was just so bored, I probably would actually do that. But mm-hmm. Yeah, but I had to come full circle on that loop of self-hating with this. It's like, oh, it always says we love this show, but you know what? So what? Who cares? We love this show. It's great. There's so many other podcasts about other things, any other property on TV, movies.
Well, how horrible would it be, too, if we were just sitting here picking apart all the things that we didn't like about it?
That'd
even
worse.
Let's do a podcast so we can talk about all the weaknesses in this thing.
Yes,
that,
you could have done this better. So that we no longer enjoy the thing that we
love. God. Yeah.
If you're going to do that, you might as well pick a show
I really
don't
enjoy it, but it could be better because they should do this. They should have
I think I'd leave feeling just kind of down and I have to drink more of the alien bottle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a bottle of alien vodka. I put it on Snapchat before. It makes me happy. But yeah, I'd drink that whole bottle if I was maybe not because I'd probably die, but.
But most of it, half of it.
I drink a few shots of it. And it would be the show that I love, I just tore it apart. So it's no longer something I love. Just like what people
do
with
that
art.
To everything.
Exactly. Why do I hate all of my things?
Yeah.
Why can't I find any joy?
So true, though.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. All right. Anyway. Don't do that.
Well, just like writing, film school, all of that does force you to be critical of things.
Yeah.
And so many things you do love become horrible. This show becomes better.
Yes.
With the more you think about it.
But see, I'm in a writing class, and the writing class is all about we're supposed to share our work with each other. Mm-hmm. And you say what you like about the person's work as mm-hmm. opposed to anything you don't like, because we're we already have a critical error. Find something good in what someone else is doing, and you'll find the good in yourself. Yeah. And it's kind of cheesy, but it's really true. I write a lot more when I'm in this class because
you actually feel positive about writing.
Yes. Yeah. And you hear other people's writing, and you're like, oh, mine isn't totally off in left field. Mine can hold its own.
You're nice. Finding a voice that's
that's
going to take a while to.
But so it stinks that when you go to school for writing or film or anything like that, all they do is just cut you down and tear you down every second of the mm-hmm. way and tell you how you're not as good as everybody else. And it's somehow that's supposed to make you great.
Well, You need a critical eye, though.
You do need a
going
critical
into
eye.
A profession where
but
you're being creative.
But it's so easy to crush.
Oh, yeah.
The creativity.
And you're being taught by
criticism.
Somebody who probably had that done to them.
And they're,
yeah.
just,
so
crushed
they're just miserable.
Yeah, and they don't want you to succeed maybe to an extent.
Well, I don't even know if they know how to like support it.
Yeah.
Like that's just what they've been taught is to like rip it down too. I don't know.
It's kind of like that idea of the more I punish you, the better you'll be.
Yeah.
And it's like, that doesn't really work.
There's a balance out there that isn't
properly
taught.
There's a balance. Because you do need a critical eye. You can't just have someone be blowing sunshine up your butt.
Mm-hmm.
But part of it is also like when you see other people's work and when you embrace like other people's work and you spend time with it, you can see the flaws in your own, or at least I can. I'm like,
It's a skill to be, and this is obvious, but it's a skill to be constructively critical where you're not, you know, where you're doing it in a supportive way. Mm-hmm. It's
don't
learn,
kill
it's
the flower! Arnold. I don't know.
I was like, I don't know where that's from, but I like it.
I made it up.
Oh, even better.
It just seemed appropriate.
Don't crush it.
Don't crush the flower. God, I do a horrible Arnold.
I'm not even going to try because mine's not any better.
Now that you pointed out that it's Arnold, though, it's a good Arnold.
Thank you. Arnold approves.
That was really better, too.
Is it?
It is.
Yes. Victory. My voiceover career will start any day now.
Okay.
Just wait, you guys.
So wait. Oh.
Oh yeah.
Should we go back to the show now?
Yes.
Okay.
We can.
So we're in Dr. Copian's office. Sorry.
At any point, just bring it back.
Okay. So Dr. Copian's office, and we get kind of like the main point of the episode, and that's, you know, there's got to be a sign. Rebecca starts looking for signs. There's got to be a sign out there. Something the universe has to tell me what it is that I'm supposed to do.
Well, and I thought it was interesting that Dr. Copian was like, neither one of these guys are actually offering you a relationship. You know that?
Mm-hmm.
And Rebecca's like, neither or both.
Or is it kind of both?
Kind of neither, but okay. This is where we get the official like kayak line too.
Oh,
yes!
Yeah.
She's like, neither or both. Okay, bye. You can take the rest of the day off.
She's like, I have other patients.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I am the prize.
I am the kayak.
I want that kayak. Just like Heather.
Yes. Is it really ethical to keep taking her money?
It's a question.
I hope therapists ask themselves that.
Oh, I've really seen it. I've seen it on a therapist's face.
Oh
no!
Looking at me,
you see them dreaming of the kayak.
Yeah, just looking at me, like barely even able to maintain any interest
kayak.
Anymore.
Kayak.
Like, man, look, we talked about this like the past 8 sessions.
Yeah.
You know. Mm-hmm. And I've told
change
you
is slow.
So this is it is and it's great because that's kind of where we get with these two episodes is like the push that you need to like make decisions for yourself and how reluctant you can be to do that, because ultimately like what's happening, especially with like with Greg and with Rebecca, is they don't want to make any decisions for themselves. They're afraid to make decisions for themselves, and it's a hard thing to do because there are consequences that you then have to deal
with.
Well,
yeah, there's always that question of, am I making the right choice? And there's no way to know. Like, there's no definite answer, and that's one of the suckiest things about trying to get through something.
Yeah.
Like, when you end a relationship, when you start a relationship, when you start a job, whatever it is, you're always like, man, did I do the right thing? Should I held out? I don't know what's going on.
There's always a consequence. And you have to, you're going to be held somewhat accountable for that. And in order to not have to, you know, in order to avoid it, you're going to look around and be able to, you know, take your answer from something else. Yeah. You're just going to search your day for something to perceive as a sign and then decide that's what's going to, you know, guide your decision. And then you don't have to be as accountable for it because, you know, you just decided that.
You saw that liquor bottle in the road, and that was your sign to go after Greg. Yeah. So,
speaking of
not
Greg,
my fault.
Something happened to him, right?
Yeah. Like, the coolest thing ever happens to him.
What happened?
Well, it's not my episode.
No.
Burn! Sorry.
Cat row. I was trying
to
bring it
back.
No, it's good, yeah.
Okay, so
go back. Anytime
right, so
you want, like I said.
I'm just...
I mean, we're going to get to the end of the episode. As Josh says, you can come back anytime. No one will judge you.
I'm lost in my notes. Okay, so we leave Dr. Copian's, right? And then, Rebecca's walking down the street, and she's trying to pick up signs, and she sees a kid in a gi, and she's like, karate outfit, that's Josh. And then she sees a whiskey bottle, and that's Greg. And then she sees a poster for Signs 4, and she says, I missed Signs 2 and 3? How did I miss that? I didn't... So again, the distractibility, she's losing focus, mm-hmm. whatever. And so she's still freaking out. How am I going to make this decision? I don't want to make this decision. Something's got to tell me how to make this decision. And then we end up, is this where we cut to?
Greg's house.
Yes, that's what I thought. Okay. So we go to Greg's house and he walks in. There's a transaction happening and some lady's leaving. And his dad has sold their house. And he's decided that he's going to help Greg out and give him half the money. And he says, get out of here. Go live your dream, kid. And Greg is scared. He's like, what? No, I can't. I'm in recovery. You can't make big changes like that or you'll relapse and die. And his dad says, well, whatever. It's, you know, it's your money and it's your decision. And so Greg's kind of got this thing hanging out there now. He's got a big decision to make. And then we go to Rebecca and Paula, right?
Yep.
And I think they're in the office. And
I wish someone would just tell me what to do.
Yes,
not
exactly.
me.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Which is, yeah.
Oh,
so yeah.
Cool, Paula.
But then their app, right? Mm-hmm. Obunation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So they're both supposed to be on their period. They get a little ding, a little chime.
Chips and frosting do sound good, by the way. I used to do with salt and crackers. Salt and crackers and frosting, delightful. Chocolate frosting, though. Don't do vanilla. Who do you think you are?
Sounds boring.
That's right. I'm just joking. Do vanilla if you want. I appreciate you.
Is it a salty and sweet thing? It's got to be
salty
and sweet,
sweet thing.
Right? Yeah.
It was my roommate in college. So that's what she did.
Yep.
And I was like, I don't know about that. And then I was like, oh, yeah. Chocolate-covered pretzels. Saltine-covered frosting.
Yeah.
A person who I grew up with, whose identity I will not disclose, did French fries and chocolate shakes.
Yeah. Who doesn't? Yeah. Who does not do that? Yes.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
That's a thing.
Like when you get Wendy's fries, you have to dip it in the frosty.
Frosty. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But when Wendy's changed their fries, you remember when they used to have good fries
and
they changed
them? Amazing fries.
Yes, but they don't anymore, right?
They were better.
They were better. Now I go to McDonald's, get the fries, and then go to Wendy's for the frosty.
Oh,
you happen to find two that are next to each other.
McDonald's, you know, ice cream machine never works.
It's true.
And their shakes are like too thick. The frosty is the perfect consistency for dipping purposes.
It's true. There was, because I worked on the morning show for a radio station for a while, and like they'd pull me in for different topics. And the only one they like introduced as like, me, this is my topic, this is what I came in wanting to talk about, was me wanting to talk about how you can hit different fast food restaurants to get the perfect meal.
Yes! Who does not do that?
And it's a good topic, but I'm like, come on, guys. Like, you're making me sound like I'm either pregnant or a stoner. I'm not proud of either
really
idea.
Smart. You find yourself a nice location where you have a lot of the fast food restaurants that you enjoy, right? And then you go, it used to be that Wendy's were my fries, and then they changed to whatever they changed it to, and I don't like them anymore. But it used to be, like, I'd go to McDonald's, and I'd get a McChicken, you go to Wendy's, you get their special fries. You get the flurry so that you can dip it in the fries. Or you go to McDonald's and you get the hot mustard because it depends on your mood.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then you go to different places for different things, right?
But yeah, absolutely.
It's very important. It's thinking logically. Or you go to Taco Bell for everything.
And then you get
except
fries
for the
else.
Beverage. Yeah. Yeah, you get your fries somewhere else. But yeah, Taco Bell, they don't have quite the variety. They don't have Diet Dr. Pepper. So obviously you have to go somewhere else for that.
Mm-hmm.
Like McDonald's, the ones that have it.
Or Arby's.
I don't do a lot of Arby's.
Or Raley's. Or Checkers with their fries.
I'm getting really hungry.
So yes.
We must all be very hungry.
Did everybody forget to eat dinner or something?
Like, I really want Raley's fries now.
Yeah.
You guys Raley's around here?
Yeah, there's one 975.
We need a French fry taste testing contest so we can choose like
I'm
our fries.
I'm so down.
Yes. I had some friends one time that we did that with fried pickles. Like, we went around downtown Columbus because I'm from Ohio. And we did. We had like a greeting card too.
Slices or dills?
Oh, it didn't matter because they had to be fried.
Okay.
And so we found out that the slices are much better than the spears because the spears just don't fry enough.
I disagree.
Why?
Sorry. I think the spears have the extra crunch.
They have too much pickle and not enough fry.
I love the pickle.
Oh, and dipping sauces were part of it as well. You love the pickle, then why did you fry it? You just killed your pickle.
No. It has the perfect blend.
You're taking like the fry as a garnish.
Blend. Yes. And then a little bit of ranch.
Taking the fries and garnish.
A spicy ranch.
A spicy ranch.
He's taking it back.
This is a good moment. winking at okay. you across the table.
So yeah. Rebecca and Paula, and they're in the office, and they're trying to figure out the periods, but they're both a couple days late. They're like, oh, it's coming any minute. And then Daryl pops in, and he's like, yeah, we just went on a hike, and my legs are really white, but it's because I'm in love. And
you the chocolate you really like. What a cool friend, like, right? Who gives you like chocolate?
He got the yeah. He got
the push notification
that it was their menstruation. Yeah, and he
I was like,
in,
I got to change my privacy settings.
He gets you chocolate and law school admissions. And
don't change your privacy settings. He's adorable. Yeah,
yeah.
He hasn't abused the privilege.
I would say
yet.
Most of my notes on this episode are Daryl. Daryl, great news, Daryl, a.k.a. cutie, Daryl. Actually, we're going to get there, but Daryl shitting on Maya.
Okay, let's get there. Yeah. All right. So Daryl.
White legs.
Yeah, white legs. White he legs. Went on a hike. Heritage Bridge. It was beautiful. He and Lijo
then Rebecca
are still.
Throws up.
What's that?
And then Rebecca throws up.
Yeah. That's what happens.
Because she's pregnant.
Yes. Well, okay. Rebecca throws up because she's pregnant.
It's not because it was in a vending machine from Colorado.
No.
No, not at
it
all.
Wasn't, it wasn't the gray egg salad.
No.
She's pregnant.
Never get the egg salad.
She's pregnant because she ate egg salad. And egg yeah. salad and is one of the up. Things that she ruined for her mom.
Including her vagina and her career.
Yes. Okay. So, Rebecca's pregnant and we move on. And we go to Rebecca texting Josh like 18 times to come home.
Come over. No, it's just come home.
Yeah.
17 texts.
So now it's
such a great relationship to raise a baby in.
Yes.
Oh my God.
And he's quickly going to agree, right?
And this is the one time he's actually astute in his observations, right? They start making out and he's when like, it's... and now he sees this like bottle of pills. When would he ever notice a bottle of pills?
Not even like he didn't see like a pregnancy test or something obvious. He sees prenatal vitamins which I don't think he's smart enough to know what that is.
When you hear a bottle fall on the floor of pills, like who actually
looks
like
over to see what they are
over
when,
what it is?
Especially when you're about to have sex too.
Yes!
He's all wrapped up in this and then he
supposedly he's wrapped up in it, but his brain isn't sexed enough, I guess. He wasn't into
it.
He
that's
lied.
How like that's how responsibility averse he is like when just the presence of that like in his periphery like grabs his attention and distracts him from it. Like, oh no,
danger,
responsibility
danger,
is around. Like,
gotta run.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So he goes a whole now. I counted this. He goes like over a minute and a half without saying a word, with just this shocked look on his face, while Rebecca just like rattles all this stuff out about what the future is going to look like. Like,
and then she's like, "I gotta pee," and then she goes back and she's like, "Never mind, just had my period. Yeah, so I'm not pregnant." But guess what?
She's got a baby.
Period
name. She had a baby name picked
period
out.
Period.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Put down a towel. Party till it's dry.
So I was listening on SoundCloud and they actually had the full song of period sex and
God.
I was like, wow, that's much longer than what they did here, and it's a little epic.
Well, that was a reprise, right? That was the second time that it pops up.
I think it's the first.
Is that the first?
I don't
know.
There is there's something with the mom
earlier.
That happens later, unless there was three.
I think there
rule
was
of threes,
I think
maybe.
There's something with the mom later because she's talking
she
about like Rebecca having
too.
Sex with somebody as a teenager and it's period and she sings it. It feels like a reprise, but I think
it
it's just really short.
All right, back to the show. So, so Josh wigs out and says, "This isn't what I want. I don't want to see you anymore. Bye, Rebecca.
I want sex and free rent, and this
exactly.
is just too much.
This is too much. It was supposed to be casual. You were just supposed to buy me things.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty.
You moved across the country for me, but this is supposed to be casual. I thought you knew.
Yeah. It's supposed to be casual. I just kind of left my stuff here.
Oh, yeah.
And put a baby in you.
But didn't really
but
put
didn't.
A baby in
I put
you.
It was a casual baby.
It was just... Well, who tells their partner that they're pregnant without even taking a test? Like,
well,
come
oh, and
on.
She's totally manic in that point, too. As soon as it happened, she's like, yeah, the universe has sent me the sign that I've been waiting for. And she just goes like...
A lot of
on, out with it.
A lot of the first two seasons, like commentary about the shows, they're like, we're not diagnosing her until season 3, which is like what's come out since then. But like even watching it, like I'm not a psychiatrist, but she's probably bipolar. Like, that's a pretty manic episode.
She's escalating a bit.
That got pretty intense.
If we have a girl, we're going to name her Jeronica. What do you think about the name Jeronica? If we have a boy, Josh Jr., maybe Jeremiah. I really like the name Jeremiah.
I've watched stand-up from Martha Plimpton. No. I'm sorry. Maria Bamford. Oh, my God.
Martha Plimpton.
She doesn't do stand-up. She's not bipolar. I reject everything I just said. Anyway.
Oh, and then Josh is like, this was the, the most upsetting 3 minutes of my life?
He's my life flashed before my eyes.
He's had such a good life. A good sheltered.
Yeah. Oh, he's comfy, he's so life. Coddled.
It's his first time seeing Crazy, and he's like, whoa,
3 minutes, too much. I mean, it was an intense 3 minutes.
It was intense. I think it showed a lot, and I can totally understand. Like, I can totally understand why he was like, hey, I can't see you anymore. I don't want to see you anymore. Like, if someone immediately goes to you and is like, we have a miracle child because I was on birth control and you wore a condom. And so this is a sign from the universe. Don't worry, I didn't take a pregnancy test. And I'm only a few days late. But I'm totally sure because I threw up having an egg salad. And that's the ultimate sign. That's better than killing a rabbit.
Shannon, I'm out.
Oh, sorry.
We're done.
Tangents.
Wait, back to the show. So Josh leaves forever. Bye-bye. And then we go to the office and Rebecca's world has collapsed and she's miserable and sad and she sits down with Paula and Paula's like, it's going to be okay. And she says like the best thing that she could say, take some time for yourself. Yeah, like just, you know, work on you for a while.
You know things are bad when Paula's being sensible.
Oh, okay. She's very sensible.
Just like bring it down.
Well, she's just like Greg, right? Like Greg is in AA and Paula has gotten her own sort of like
a little bit of
detox situation where she's like, no, I've detoxed to the life and I can see sanity again.
Mm-hmm.
Until she realizes that while Rebecca has gotten her period, who hasn't?
Paula.
Yeah. So, yes.
I was like, this nice is coming segue. Up at some
Good
point,
segue.
But
yeah. those are more practice segues than my back to the show. That's like
that's your Rebecca segue. Like, okay, back.
Hey, shut your stupid face. So Paula, so Rebecca leaves. She's going to work on herself, and then Paula says, "Wait, she got her period," and realizes she still hasn't gotten hers. So she looks at a pregnancy test in her bag and calls Scott and says, meet me at home. And she leaves work. And Daryl's like, you take me with you, but he can't leave because it's his place. And so we go to...
I think it's the house.
Paula's at the house and she tries to drink wine.
It's her and Scott sitting around the table. And they're just staring at a pregnancy test. They haven't opened it yet.
That bitch fate knocked me up.
Yeah. And we get Paula's like...
I'm a breeder, not a leader.
Yeah, her dad's wise words, because parents' words always stick with us, especially the ones that they don't want to stick with you.
Yeah. Those of course. The ones who are like, I didn't really mean that. And you're like, oh, but you said that, and that sticks.
Those are the ones that I always bring up, too.
I don't bring them up. I just suffer in silence.
mine squeak through every now and then. And then my parents are like, shut up. And I'm like, all right, good. I agree.
Great talk. Thank you.
Yeah.
And then Rebecca's on a bridge.
Is she?
Yeah.
Is that, okay.
She goes over and she's on a bridge and Greg's there.
All right. Hang on.
Aww.
I'm trying to. Okay. Wait. There's let me catch up. No, I remember that. Okay. So, yeah.
Stop talking.
So Rebecca takes a walk. And while she's taking this time for herself, she stumbles upon Greg, who's also taking time for himself to stare at water under a bridge. And they talk for a bit and they have a cute little moment that, you know, shows that little bit of chemistry that they've had throughout that series. And they talk about how bad it was while they were together. But then she proposes, hey, maybe we could do this again or something. That's after Greg grabs her and kisses her, right?
It's all mushed
together.
All
just
it's like this
mushy,
like big
mush.
Romantic moment.
Yeah, it's this rom-com kind of a thing where they coincidentally run into each other and, you know, and it could be a sign or not, or depends on how you want to interpret it. So from there we go to Rebecca back at Dr. Akopian's, and she's telling her, just when I thought the universe, you know, that I was over signs, or the universe gives me the biggest sign of all, And it's Greg kissing her. So she's back on Signs after having just given them up. Yeah. And so Dr. Akopian's like, okay, you're an idiot. And
she starts stringing some rope from the ceiling.
Yeah, essentially, yeah. It's unclear who for. And
neither one. Doesn't matter.
No. So she's just like, are you listening to anything? And she's like, no, this is it. This is it's been Greg all along. And she goes through this whole crazy scenario where she recaps the whole thing, and it's great and funny and entertaining and destructive and horrible and wonderful.
Which is the whole show, and we love it. Yeah, and like every moment of it is wonderful.
Oh, it's actually perfect. It's
sweet and so beautiful, and we want them to get together. I want them to get together.
Dr. Akopian and
Dr. Akopian and her kayak. That's probably the healthiest relationship.
Honestly, is.
Yeah. And so then we go to Greg and his dad, and Greg is packing up his things, and we're like, what's he going to do? And it turns out he's staying. He decided to stay, and he's going to store all of his stuff at Beans's place. And he's talking about, you know,
in a dog mausoleum.
Yes, in a dog mausoleum.
Important detail. Have to get it out.
Where you worship dogs?
I don't know.
You plan for a whole bunch of dogs to die on you. Okay.
That's kind of sweet. It's what? All right. Anyway.
Kind of cute.
All right. So Greg's staying. His dad's like, you're an idiot. If you do, you might as well just start hitting the bottle again. You're staying for her, and you guys are bad for each other. And so Greg, Rebecca had set this plan like, hey, if you want to do this, meet me at this bridge later tonight. And we pop over to the bridge, and Rebecca's standing there, and she's, you know, just waiting to see Greg, and he starts walking up in the distance, and there's this smile on his face as he sees her. And then in the foreground, we kind of his face kind of drops a little bit, and there's this literal danger sign with this guy drowning right there in front of Rebecca, and he's just like, nope. And so Rebecca ends up at the bridge on her own. Where's Greg? And she heads back home, and she finds a bottle of wine, and she wisely has a glass, and she falls asleep. And when she wakes up in the morning, still no messages, no explanation, and she goes to text Greg, and then she sees a Snapchat notification, and she's like, what the hell? And she takes off. And then we cut to Greg and his buddies, and they're seeing him off, and he's taking off for Atlanta, and he says a sweet goodbye to all of them in their own individual ways, which is really cool because it like each one of their goodbyes is like related to each of the characters' like traits, like, you know.
And the one with the white Josh is the sweetest because he's the best role model on the show. Yeah. And even Greg is like, I wish I could be half as man, like half the man you are.
You're going to have to up your protein intake.
Yeah.
And
you meant metaphorically.
Okay. That's a compliment. Cool. Yep. Cool, bro.
He really wants him to stay because he's got a Tuesday, Thursday, 6:30 a.m. boot camp, and he thinks it'd be really good for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice way to mask that emotion, bro.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yep.
And then Josh, I actually have a clip of his goodbye because this is like the most emotional we ever see Josh.
Yep.
It's super sweet. So we can hear that in his voice for a second before we wrap up the episode.
You're the first friend I ever made in my whole life. I feel like part of me is leaving town too. Now, if it gets too rough, you can come back, you know? Yeah, I did that. No one will judge you.
I did. I judged you. Okay.
I'm not coming back, are you?
I don't think so. But thanks. Thanks for being a good friend, Chad.
Are you crazy? I haven't been a good friend to you in like months. After all the Rebecca stuff, I can't even believe you still talk to me.
It's okay.
Sure?
Yeah. All that's in the past now.
Wow.
Oh, it's really well written.
It is. And, it's beautiful.
And performed. Yeah. Yeah. It is. Even though Josh left for New York, how many months prior to that? Like, what was their goodbye like?
Probably nothing.
What was the opposite?
Probably
of that?
Like, oh man, I'll join you there. So I'll come visit. I want to. I need to get out of this West Covina anytime soon. I'll come see you on Thanksgiving or whatever. And
they woke up like bottles strewn about. Yeah. Like, Greg puked down his chest and. Josh was like, see you later, bro. And like tapped him on the shoulder and then took off.
Oh, my mom's got me. It's cool.
We know you'll be back in 6 months.
Yeah. But this is a real goodbye because Greg is not coming back.
No.
Everyone knows it.
And but it's such a great choice for that character. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's really, they do a great job at like every character ends up kind of with an uplifting kind of like, end or move or a lot of times like they might take them way down into like despair, but they do a great job at taking them back out of it.
And everyone changes a lot, and like in this case, like he changed so much he's off the show, so
yeah,
that's positive and cool. And it's cute. Like,
yeah, this character is now rehabbed, so we have no reason to keep him around.
He's too nut. Like, you either talk about him in the third person like Beans, or we just write him off the show and give him a great ending. And it actually, like, the next episode just starts reback on Rebecca coming to, like, romantic comedy rush to Greg's side to say the great romantic goodbye. And we have, you know, say Angela's going to take over that recap, but if we want to hear that whole song, we can.
Which, shit show?
Yes.
Technically, this title is, it was a shit show, I think. Okay. I guess I'll start.
Okay, yeah, go for it.
Okay. Episode 4, When Will Josh and His Friend Leave Me Alone? It starts at the airport, continuing that scene. Rebecca's arrived. They say their goodbye. She is trying to persuade him to stay. In a very selfish mood, but she's, you know, she's got issues. So the song, great song. It was a shit show. The CW allowed two shits to be written into that song.
They gave exactly two shits.
Yes, exactly. Like, they couldn't.
No more. We will blimp it twice, and that's it.
So that romantic, horrific song, sung. We end up at Rebecca's. She's on the couch. She's depressed. Josh has dumped me. Greg has abandoned me. Because, like, her father issues aren't playing in at all. Paul is being sensible again. Mm-hmm. Like,
wait,
you know,
wait,
be
wait.
Nice.
You guys, we didn't talk about any of the lyrics of Shit Show. Yeah, like, that mean we can. Epic.
Yes.
All right.
Just like we're Jerry Springer, not Casablanca.
Can unscrew each other's friends.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Chernobyl next to us looked like a campfire.
Hurricane Katrina, just bad weather.
Yeah. Not to be crass, but this sucked ass.
It was a shit show.
But it's such a like beautiful song, the way that it's
oh my God.
The emotion in it and the reality of it and the way he sings it, his voice is like amazing.
Yes.
And this is for me a 1000% visual song. Like they're lit beautifully.
Yes,
they're half crying.
Yes. Yes.
Like they're just acting.
You can
in like
see
the
them connecting
and
then
moments.
Like yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, the connection between them is so like palpable and strong, and you can, they're totally selling that chemistry between them. And at the same time, knowing that, like, they have, like, for the sake of their health, like, it has to stop.
Well,
like,
because we have chemistry, of course, but that's a formula for divorce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, a play about pieces of feces is what we are together.
Yeah.
Oh, and then I, like, we could have
that's
sex,
great.
But what happens next?
Yep.
Not just fatigue and hunger.
Oh.
Yeah, the truth of yeah. all of that is perfect.
Yeah.
And then just how they end it with that, like,
this beautiful, heart-stopping, breathtaking, life-changing. And then they never finish. No, but, you know, every time I hear it,
perfect.
I sing it.
Allowed three not. Shits.
They
used up all their shits.
No,
but
I but
it was
for
perfect,
them.
Though.
Yes.
That was the perfect place to stop it.
Shit.
And then he goes, like, they get that, like, really close, like, they're going to kiss one last time, and then, like,
and boom, just,
he
like, walks away.
And when he's up at the escalator, like, he goes into
disappears
the light.
Disappears into the light, yeah.
Yeah.
He's in a better
go
place.
Go into the light!
Like, yeah, it's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Wait, what is that in Poltergeist? Go into the light, Luann, or what's her name?
I don't know.
Oh, well, go into the light!
So Yeah, actually, like, I have a clip too of that one. I think we're gonna play that one. It's because this is, I think, no, have shit show ending because it's I think this is the actual point. The show shifts from sitcom to drama, like just in the music cues and everything, and then like the next talk they have with Paula. So we're gonna kind of recap that next talk, but like this one, I think it was called probably Tone Shift. Yeah, probably something obvious, but yeah, there's like. I don't know. I love the whole song is so good. It's like a 2-minute song of like shit show. This is how beautiful we are, and then it goes in like into this like tone shift of the entire series. I think.
Here's some tea, doll.
What's wrong with me? Why doesn't anyone want me? Josh dumped me and then Greg abandoned me.
Okay, that is not the situation.
Yes, it is. He left and he called our relationship feces.
Okay, well, maybe he didn't, you know, use the best words, but I mean, that's why he's going back to school. And I'm sorry, but you guys are not good for each other. He needed to move on, and good for him for taking that step.
I hope he dies. If he ever comes back, I'm just going to be like, die.
Okay, let it go. Let Greg go. Just let both of them go.
I don't know who I am without them. I know that's pathetic. I know it's pathetic, but it's true. Who am I supposed to be now?
Honey, be yourself.
What? Who? No. Ew. Ugh, who wants to be that? You just don't understand. You don't know what it's like to be at a crossroads and not know what to do next.
You're right, honey. I don't.
Wow. You don't know what it's like to be at a crossroad. Who
I know.
Doesn't know what it's like to be at a crossroad?
And how ignorant is that? Like, how much older is Paula and how much more life experience does she have? Like,
but
for her to think
know.
That she's never experienced some kind of tough decision in her life is just, you know, horrible. That.
It's like the ultimate narcissist.
I know.
Yes,
every time I watch this, I like cringe, but I'm like, I'm also addicted to it.
Yeah.
That's what makes it so fun.
It's hard having a like coming from a background of having some like emotional and like psychological issues too. You can empathize with the characters and you know why they behave the way they do. Like, you know, I've been treated for depression and stuff, and so you can understand why people end up in the mental states that they do and why they end up so self-focused and stuff. So it's tough when you watch it because you understand and you kind of like empathize, and at the same time you know that it's horrible.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Like 1,000%.
Yeah. Which I guess is, you know, why the show exists and like it does. It's supposed to make you reflect as well and give you an objective like view of that so you can kind of, you know, see the dangers and that behavior and that, you know, those mental states and stuff, I guess. You know, if you relate like that, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's person to person thing, I guess. Anyways, back to the show.
Okay, after the couch, we're now at Paula's. Scott is a useless human being. She's horrible.
Still.
He's horrible.
He's especially horrible.
Guys, I told you about Scott.
Well, I agreed with you. I don't think Scott's actively evil, but he's...
He's passively incompetent, and it's the same thing.
Yeah, it's just
man-child.
It's bad enough. It's
man-child.
Bad enough.
Man child, yeah, and yeah, Paula may do the stuff, and that may be partially why he's man child. But you could step it up. You don't have to let someone take care of you.
He's that incompetent.
You don't have to be a fool.
Yeah, he's the incompetent sitcom dad, and it's showing just how awful that would be.
Bleh.
Yeah, I hate Scott. So Brendan's,
thank you.
Brendan's been suspended. Scott
we
yells
hate
at him
Scott.
For
yes, we do.
Eating naked cheese, in Paula's words. He suggests abortion. an option that they'll keep away from. They'll keep from Father Bra and Father Bra.
But that's an option for a high schooler, like a month after the winter formal.
Great line.
Yes. We're back at Rebecca's. Rebecca's cleaning. She's kind of trying to make herself, you know, a bit more productive. The Greg and Josh spirit ghost things yeah. come in.
The poltergeist.
Mm-hmm. And our second song in 10 minutes starts. We tap that ass.
We tap that ass all over this house. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun. Kudos to the network for letting that one go.
Oh, it's great. I like how they even say, like, occasionally in your bed, that bed's super uncomfortable.
It's like a prison cat.
So is that the clip I grabbed some clip from that song. I don't know if we need it, but
we should listen.
Okay, I don't remember which part I grabbed because it was so good, but
my whole
favorite thing about this song is this show has a lot of moments of this, but it just celebrates straight male sexuality in a way that's not like super macho and gross, but like still super cute. I don't know.
And it's interesting because it's going on in her head.
Barkeep,
what's on tap?
Like, it's really...
Me and my ass. Yeah.
That might be it. Yeah. I think that's what I got.
Oh, yes!
Let's find out.
Sorry.
Hey, does this ring a bell?
A little to the left.
Oh, okay now. A little to the right.
Oh, wait. Back to the left.
Right there.
Wait, no, you're doing it wrong. I'll do it myself.
Barkeep, what's on tap?
It's me and my ass.
Ooh, sounds refreshing.
Yeah, was that part? But yeah, just that whole cute, like, I mean, there's not a lot of that on TV where, like, men are allowed to be cute and sexual and it's positive and not just be like, oh, gross, Tim Allen, blah.
Yeah. So one of the lyrics of the song is, you'll never escape us. So she's trying to escape them, and she sets fire to her Josh and Greg paraphernalia in the kitchen later on. And then we see her at Heather's. It's about 2:00 in the morning. Rebecca shows up at the door in one of those shock
fire
blankets.
Yeah,
those. She has accidentally set a bigger fire. quote unquote accidentally.
accidentally, not the fire, but the fire.
Yeah. Rebecca doesn't remember Heather's parents.
Heather's last name is Davis.
This show, and I don't know if this is the first time, but it does such a good job of like introducing new characters late in the game.
Yes.
Because we didn't meet them. We had no idea she lived with her parents.
No, but Rebecca is self involved enough that it could totally be one of those cases where we're like,
exactly. Yes. So they just write it into the character, and it's fine, and it's beautiful, and so good.
Yeah.
I make a mean pancake. It's 2 a.m.
Yeah, I am a little hungry. Dad, it's 2 a.m.
So she starts
this morning.
Strawberry cat ears or blueberry smiles? Get out of my head, you beautiful angel.
So she starts. Yeah. She starts reverting back to childhood. Next morning, Heather's watching Crazy Lady 911 phone call video.
Oh, photo credit to the jerk in 7B.
And then as we pan out from that video playing, we're at White Feather and Associates, where the whole office is watching this horribly embarrassing video where Rebecca's talking about pooping in the backyard and how she's just been dumped by two guys.
I poo on my shoe.
So my
details too from that is like where they're watching it at George's desk, and like George is the coworker no one remembers usually. So it's good. It all
that
ends up good.
Karen suggests that she gets an alias, which
like Ava Longoria.
Yeah.
That's already somebody.
Well, crap.
Is it?
Such a great name.
Okay, and then we end up at a Miss Douche meeting. I'm not sure what the firm is doing for Miss Douche, but
they are setting up a new location.
Oh, yes.
That
okay.
is office and light industrial, so it's a mixed-use property. So that's why they need a lawyer.
Yeah. Paul had to pull permits for that.
Yeah.
And I want to call her Petra, but I had to look up character's name. The Miss Douche executive is Trina, and she is kind of, I guess, the work version of Rebecca in terms of like her craziness is centered on rehabbing Miss Douche, and all this talk about like female empowerment and rebranding and starting over gives Rebecca the idea that she should become Miss Douche.
I need to become a douche.
Yes.
How does one change their entire identity so everyone forgets who they were before?
Yeah.
No one will laugh at us now. So, I mean me. Yeah. Or me.
Yeah.
They're going to look at that billboard and think, she's really got her shit together.
She's so like committed to it, too. Mm-hmm. Like the way that actress plays that is perfect.
So mm-hmm. Rebecca walks over to Paula's desk and she says she's recusing herself from the case and she gives Paula all her work.
Yeah. Paula's like, I'm not a lawyer.
Oh, you practically are.
The only one I trust.
It'll be fine. Yeah.
To be fair.
Doesn't bother giving it to any of the other lawyers there. She goes to Paula, like, here, do all of this lawyer stuff. Oh, okay.
I feel like Paula is the only one anyone at that law firm would trust, though. So
that just goes to show that a college education does not make a competent person, right? Like, I mean, yeah, I mean, she did go to college as well, but like, you have these lawyers, and Paula is the competent one of the bunch.
It's all about attitude and something.
Well, paying attention, I guess, yeah. Learning, picking up knowledge. A lawyer didn't used to be law schools. They were like, you were an apprentice. You learn law from another lawyer. Right? You just
Interesting.
So who needs law school?
Not me.
Not Paula. She's going to have this baby because, you know, she did it. And now she's doomed. But anyway, we're back at her house.
Whoa, do me.
And Scott is showing us every reason she should have an abortion. He can't cook. He forgot to pick up Tommy.
That gene line should not be continuing.
And then...
Bacon-wrapped chicken.
Oh, it's undercooked.
Yeah.
It's undercooked.
Was he trying to show her to have an abortion?
He was trying to, show her that they would have it all together.
Okay.
And he's like, oh, I could totally carry my weight.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wait, no, I can't.
No, we can't.
Because I'm a man-child who would have died and starved and would have been in an alley without you.
To what degree do we think he might have an ulterior motive? Like, yeah, she's going to become a lawyer and then I can, like, retire.
I don't think he has an ulterior motive. I think he's just a fool.
Yeah,
like, he just, it's a nice idea.
I'm proposing something that isn't there.
It's that takes a lot of thought. And this man, like,
doesn't have it.
Yeah. He doesn't have it. He's the kind of guy who, like, goes to work, comes home, watches TV, and doesn't have an original thought in his brain. Bah!
So he forgot,
I may be a little harsh on him.
No.
You guys have turned me around on this. He deserves all the criticism you give him.
Hey, you guys, now let's eat around some chicken.
Here's some empathy, though.
No. Okay, I'm not done with the. I'm not done with the crimes yet.
Oh, yeah.
So, let's hear those crimes.
So he forgot to pick up. He only has two kids. He forgot to pick up one of them.
That's like 50%. That's a fail grade.
He forgot to pick up 50% of his kids.
Yeah, I'm going to hype you up.
And then he sends... the other kid with the suspended license to go pick him up.
Just take the back roads. Just take the back roads. It'll be fine.
Oh, God.
Fool. What else you got? Let's keep this going.
It would just be easier if he were dead.
Yeah. And you know what? He's still working, so you should get some insurance money for that. You get insurance money while the person's working. If he retires, he doesn't get it anymore, and not from the company.
If he ever...
That's a little tip for you guys.
If he ever ends up on his own, he's going to end up dead. Like, he doesn't stand a shot at survival.
He doesn't, and he reproduced, and you could see it in the demon spawn of his children if they were Paulin, someone who had 2 cents of common. Also, a little bit of common sense, but I said 2 cents of common, so that made more sense.
In the moment.
Oh, man, too many cent words. But, yeah, she could have had some kids that, like, had some gumption to them, and instead...
Maybe they got some, but, like, they don't know, they're not all there, so then they're very tortured and pulled between these two extremes.
Yeah, they're like, half of me is dumb and half of me is smart. What do I do?
Be mediocre the rest of my life.
I only have one common sense.
That's a great
instead of common sense.
I like to blame culture.
Yeah.
I blame their father.
Yeah.
But where did he come from?
From dumb parents.
Patriarchy.
I know.
Yes.
Oh, I know.
Yes.
That, like, yeah. The acceptance of the mediocrity.
He came from that Marilyn Monroe Triangle song. Mm.
Okay, so in my fantasies, Paula murders Scott, and then we end up as Heathers.
Oh, she could do so much better. And she could still get some good sex because that lady is feisty. Mm-hmm. Sorry, proceed.
No, okay. So Rebecca's telling the Davises about the contest.
Oh, they're Mr. and Mr. Heather. Mr. and Mrs. Heather.
Or the Heathers.
We're the Heathers.
Mrs. Davis mentions that her mom always used to smell like salad from Mr. product.
Love that line. In case you're a male listening, a traditional douche is made out of white leg vinegar, and that's a salad dressing. The end. Oh, that's why that joke is funny for the males out there.
This learning moment brought to you by the Reading Rainbow.
So Rebecca is telling everyone about her plans. Heather repeats back what she says, and it sounds mean. And Heather's like, I'm just repeating back what she said. Mm-hmm. And then there's the song Makey Makeover.
It's a makeover. A makey makeover. A makey 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 makeover.
Yeah. Like, do they just keep saying make? I just remember the end.
I had a stroke.
I had a stroke.
Yeah.
Well, it's if you think of the song Mickey, that it's Mickey, based Mickey, off Mickey, of, Mickey. Right? Because it's like based off of Hey Mickey, you're so fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's Hey Mickey, you're so fine, you blow my mind, Hey Mickey. So, I mean, it keeps saying the same words over and over again.
So, have you guys ever seen Clone High?
Clone High? No.
It was an MTV show about 2002. Must be the only one. It's about it's about clone or people, like the DNA of famous people gets cloned into new people, and they're in high school now, and they're at this high school called Clone High, in which they have to go through the trials and tribulations of high school, but it's like a love triangle between Cleopatra, Abraham Lincoln, and Joan of Arc.
That's intense.
There was like a one season show, and near the end of the season, there's another person in like another triangle, which is Joan of Arc, Cleopatra, and JFK. And in that love triangle, there's like a makeover that happens, and they have a makeover song too. It's like makeover, 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 makeover,
oh, wait, we overlooked.
Makeover, makeover, makeover. So it's the same idea.
You guys, now we have to all watch that.
We overlooked Heather's mom's makeover song.
Oh, yeah. Which,
yeah.
It was so cute. I don't remember it.
What is it like? I need a makeover, a makeover, a makeover. And she's doing this goofy dance while she's doing it.
And a little cha-cha.
Heather, of course, is the embarrassed kid. Who's like, Mom, no, no.
No, there needs to be no song. No, 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 there needs to be a song, but she's not that song.
Oh, and then,
hey, Mickey, you're so fine, you're so fine, you blow my mind.
Old you is a diaper, new you is a diamond.
Okay, so there's, during that song, there's makeover montage, and then we see her walking in at White Feather the next day, and the reaction is kind of confused.
Yes.
She looks like somebody off one of those Real Housewives shows. Like, she's had this extreme, like, far out there.
She looks like she had a lobotomy, so. Poor girl. But isn't a beautiful jean jumpsuit I would love to wear? I love jean jumpsuits.
You could rock that.
Oh, yeah.
See it.
And then they're at Paula's desk. Rebecca reveals that she spent $5,000 on bots to win this contest. And Rebecca's my favorite line of this segment. It's not staples, it's glue. And it's not horse hair, it's dead people hair.
God, that is really good.
So she's going off the deep end, and outside she's walking. She runs into Josh, and Josh doesn't recognize her. And then when he figures out it's her, he looks very concerned for her mental health. And
is it a costume contest?
Yeah. He doesn't know what to say. He's clueless in how to be empathetic or just nice in that situation. And then, too, he, like, triggers everything bad in her. The line I love is, like, he's like, well, whatever you're going through right now, it'll get better. And she's like, how can it get better if everything's already the best?
Yeah. And then you just see it all wipe off her
face.
And
you're just like, that's where we're at.
Yeah.
And so then, of course, she sleeps for 2 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was the moment that crashed from manic to depression.
Yeah.
So.
Yep, she's back on the couch. She's given up. Heather, of all people, is the one pushing her to complete this.
Go to your dumb contest. You put in all that stupid effort.
She permanently damaged her appearance. She has to see this through. And I think this is a point where Heather realizes why she's
yeah,
quit everything in her life. It's because of her.
She's
enabling.
Never been pushed, and she knows the like destructiveness of it. So she's yeah. now pushing somebody else, and this like leads to her kind of
yeah. Mm-hmm. It's her enabling parents that
I'm
don't ever want her to leave.
The man in the mirror. Oh no.
Okay, and then we get some scenes at the Miss Douche contest and the planning hearing. They kind of alternate. Paula and Rebecca are going through the same thing. They're both being asked, who are you? Rebecca's on a stage. And then during the second one of these scenes at the Miss Douche contest, Rebecca kind of implodes and has her usual embarrassing public moment where she talks about like how unhappy she is and the crazy lady 911 phone call video. And Paula, at her planning hearing, reveals that she's not a lawyer. The planning manager says she'd make a damn good attorney. Let's see. And then
you can see the wheels turning in her head like,
yeah,
oh, maybe the abortion's a good idea. Mm-hmm. I've got dreams still. And
yeah.
They could be real.
Yeah. And Rebecca also calls out like her friend Heather, and she's like, you want cool? Here's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The Miss Douche contest. Yeah. Yeah.
Which turns out to be very important because
yeah.
after we've given up on like, okay, everything's crashed and burned for, well, Rebecca, maybe everyone, we're not sure at this point. Like, Rebecca comes out to meet the parents or the Heathers, her new parents, the Heathers. And like, I guess they didn't even stick around long enough to see the end of the ceremony. They're all drinking white wine out in the patio because Heather is the one that comes out and is like, hey, guys, I won this.
Oh, and Rebecca's yeah. like, I just wanted you guys to be proud. Yeah. And her parents are like, you participated.
We're going to get you a ribbon.
They were so cute.
We'll stop and get your ribbon
but
on the
also
way
also terrible.
Yeah. Heather reveals she won the contest, and like for a brief second, you see on Mrs. Davis's face like panic. Like she's in shock and panic, but she brings it back real quick.
Mm-hmm. How is that even possible?
Yeah. And she's like clapping.
Panic. She won,
and Heather says she's gonna move out. Like, I love you guys, but you reward failure,
and that's why I still live at home.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
it's really interesting. Like, how does this happen? Like, where did these parents come from, and then like to influence kids in that way? Like, what happened throughout the generation?
That was
like
a big thing. It was the self esteem push.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You know, like you don't want to hurt the self esteem.
Yeah,
and then you know, like parenting is hard, and saying no is hard, and so it's a lot easier to just say yes, and you know, like not have to be the one who crushes spirits
sure
to raise them back
yeah.
up.
Yeah,
and Heather looks like she's an only child.
Yeah.
And her parents seem a bit older.
That's true.
Yes.
So they might have had trouble having her.
Which
this
means
is my
they coddle her even more. Yeah. That makes sense.
They look like hippies. Mm-hmm.
But no, like, you know, if it's something you really, really want and you finally get it, it totally makes sense that you'd be a little more coddly. You know, like, be like, oh, this is precious. And I know how precious
yeah.
it is. Because
we want the best for you. So, and then
we don't want the best for you. We want enough for you to stay with us forever.
Well, no, but I think it comes from a place of like, we want the best
yeah.
for you.
Yeah.
And
they didn't do it out of like,
well, no, it wasn't
kind of,
hateful,
was
but
no
they even said at one point, they were like, Heather will live with us forever.
She'll
like,
need, yeah,
they
she'll
liked
need us
that
forever.
She lived at home.
And I'm thinking
and
of parents.
Like, had 8 years of community college.
I'm thinking of parents like Rebecca's parents or Greg's parents. Like,
yeah.
they, you even like when you get these brief glimpses of these people
yeah.
who happen to be parents, they obviously hate themselves too.
You guys,
they have their
yeah.
own inner turmoil. So, like, that's forcing them to be very strict or very judgmental of their children.
Yes.
Whereas, like, you see the Heathers and you're like, oh, well, they're very happy and they like each other. So,
yeah.
they're not really pushing Heather because they want the best for her. And they believe their judgment is the best because everything's always worked out good for them.
Yeah.
So maybe Heather can figure it out on her own without any help. Because
you guys, what they say about parents is that no parents come into the world wanting to screw up their child. They're just screwed up themselves. Wait, I added the last part. But no, it's true. Like, no parents come in wanting to screw up their kid. You know, mm-hmm. we all just do it because we're all screwed up. And it's hard not to, like, rub that off on the people around you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, even the happy.
I'm just
even too much happy is screwed up.
It's interesting to see the effects, like, analyzed in a show like that. And the way that the, like the consequences of how the kids were raised, like how they are now behaving in their mid-20s, and how the parents are kind of like, they'll figure it out. Like, leave them alone and see what they do and let them figure it out. And it just so happens that it takes these kids a very long time to figure it the hell out. Like,
because I could use that guidance or that pressure.
Yeah.
Or even something like Greg. I think the big contrast, too, is like Greg's never moved out. He's always lived with his dad.
Mm-hmm.
And then Heather's never moved out. She's always lived with her parents. But for Greg, he took on so much more responsibility in that choice to live at home because his dad was sick and he thought he was the only one that, you know, could care for him and be there for love and affection. So he's coming from it in his head as like, this is an advanced, mature thing to do. But realistically, is he any better off than Heather? Probably not. He probably needs to move out and go to college and live his life a little bit and come back a little more mature.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Once Rebecca moves in with the Davises temporarily, like Heather kind of figures out really quickly, like,
this is
the dynamic that's happening between me and my parents.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're coddling, they're enabling. This is why I don't finish anything. I've got to leave.
Yeah. But Rebecca, you're coming with me because I have no credit and I need someone to co-sign.
She's the worst with money.
But she still has credit because she sure spends a lot of it.
That's true.
But she can quit anything that she doesn't want to do. So that's why, like, any job situation she's ever been in, she hasn't wanted to do it. So she's just bailed on it.
She's bailed.
Yeah.
So.
But guys, she's really good at being a bartender.
She is. And I think she would be a great bartender into then probably, what did we say earlier, like a career coach or something. I would be really good at it. She's also interesting in that, like, she hasn't been trying to find herself that long, but she finds herself the quickest, or she finds ways to change positively the quickest, whereas like other people, like Rebecca has been trying for so long to be happy and find herself and find things, and it's taken her 20, I guess she's like 26, right?
27, yeah, I think it's around there. Yeah.
I mean, I don't believe 26 because 26 is so young, but, that's me being judgmental. But, like, she's tried so long to, like, find herself. And then when she does, it's, like, still so slow. But, like, Heather hasn't been trying. And then she's like, oh, I need to change. Here's a good positive change. And she does it right away. And it's fine.
Yeah, but she also changes a lot. Because, I mean, you think about the fact, like, she's had, what, 8 different majors in
She's a professional changer.
She's a professional changer, so it's not as scary for her. She's just like, oh, well, I'm going to change again. It's all good. Do this all the time.
And Heather isn't dealing with a mental illness, too.
That's true,
her problems
too, right?
are a lot. Which, lot
that's very
they're
important.
Not as deeply ingrained.
She hasn't pushed it down as far.
Yeah.
Yeah, it hasn't become an issue.
It hasn't become a fossil. Fossils don't come back to life.
My other favorite thing, because there's one more scene in this.
There's two.
Or two more? You want
to
wrap up those last scenes?
There's actually three, but okay. So we're at Paula's. Paula's in bed. She's had the abortion, as Brendan yells out.
I'm going to get the door since you had an abortion.
Scott is being supportive. He's ordered a pizza, and he's lowered the standard so much that made him a hero.
Well, if I was having a bad day, I'd want a pizza, too.
Well,
not to defend him, because I don't like the man, but I'm just saying.
I'm not against that idea. But.
No,
but you're right. He's lowered the standards.
Yes, he's lowered.
You fail at normal, and all of a sudden, subpar seems okay.
I love how much you hate him. So, yeah.
I hate underachievers. Well, I mean, like, underachieving's okay, but yeah, anyway.
Okay, so Scott. Rebecca enters, asks Paul if she's okay. Paula says, yeah, I'm cool, whatever. She has the flu, but not. Back at Rebecca's old place that she kind of burned down, she asks, Hallucination Greg to go away. And Hallucination Greg goes away.
But guys, she doesn't ask Hallucination Josh to go away. Did you notice that?
No, I didn't. That's
like, why didn't she ask Josh to go?
She still has a chance with him.
Yeah,
she's supposed to work on
herself. He's not a better person. So
he's not hanging around as strongly because he's less of a catch. I'm searching for something.
Yeah, he's the Scott.
At Sugar Face, the donut shop. Heather and Rebecca are looking at apartments, hanging out, and then they see Valencia eating a donut.
That's right. That was this episode.
Yes. box of donuts, no makeup. And I think they even actually say, is that Valencia housing a donut or something like that?
Yeah. I forgot. That's important, too.
Yeah.
See, I kind of like checked out at the Paula's in bed. She just had an abortion. Rebecca comes to show how much better she is. And the thing I noticed between that scene and the first scene of the episode was in the whole shit show nonsense, Greg is leaving town. He's wearing like this blue-ish work shirt with like the little straps that button on the shoulders. Yeah. And then you go to Rebecca, who's in her enlightened state and is like, oh, whatever, whatever. She's wearing like a bright yellow shirt, but she's got a blue work shirt with those straps and those buttons over it because she is mirroring Greg in ways that are healthy.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, she's like, he's gotten healthy. I could be healthy, too.
Yeah. And it's
by wearing this shirt.
It's so subtle, but it's healthy so important.
You, you get kind of like the Springer's final thought. Kind of like emotional or like realization.
Yeah.
Too, at the end too.
Yes, absolutely. Like, oh man, I know this is what I was trying to do with Josh and whatever, Greg, but.
Paula still refusing to give any kind of indication of what she's been going through too. But I don't want to burden anybody
she
with anything.
That,
well, yeah. I see. It's not quite. Nefarious is too strong a word, but I see like an effort to maintain control there too, like of your image and of that relationship.
To maintain
Rebecca actually said I know something's been up, and I really want to know like what's been going on. It was an honest moment with Rebecca, and then Paula was like, "I had a thing, I figured it out."
Yeah,
you're right. Well, like that's control.
Yeah, you don't want to be vulnerable,
and it's that parent thing too that she's not like she's not a parent to her own children because she let her teenage son know she had an abortion, but like her adult friend
that's
that she babies
true.
Like a child, she didn't let in on the secret. But that's a bummer.
Did Scott make her hate guys so much that she decided she hated her kids right off the bat? Like,
probably. It could just be that,
or maybe she respects Brendan's ability to handle it more. I don't think it's that. I think it's
Brendan can always find cheese and mustard. He'll take care of himself.
Well, the next two episodes, and I'm glad you brought up the Valencia Donuts thing because I completely forgot. And then I'm looking at the season or the season two, episode five name. Why is Josh's ex-girlfriend eating carbs? So we're going to answer that question right away, like within an episode. So like, you know, within a minute of that episode ending and watching next on Netflix. And then one after that, six, is who needs Josh when you can have a girl group?
Yes!
Which like,
oh yeah.
Secret. I kind of like, I re-listened to the song from that episode and I've got so many thoughts on it now that I'm so excited for next week's episode or podcast because that episode specifically is so fun.
Yeah.
But any final thoughts? No. Any teasers for next?
I saw a season three teaser on Instagram. It was a spoiler.
Okay.
So ready yourself. The video popped up and it was Rachel Bloom's face and she went, spoiler. And then they put lipstick on her lips and then it ended.
Okay.
Ooh, I like it. I'm going to think about that all week. We will see you guys next Wednesday, 7 to 9. That's our live time, but look us up anytime on the internet for the Crazy Ex-Girlfriends podcast.
We love you.